The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Have you done mascotting before?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Showing. Yeah, this is showing right now.
Can you make a peacock sound? Do you know what a sound a peacock makes?
That's a chicken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We are NBC, the home of the peacock. We're not sure what the hell a peacock sounds like. It didn't sound like that. I know that. One thing I know, I'm not sure, but that wasn't a damn peacock, okay? What's up, everybody? It's Wild Card Weekend. It's Sunday night. Ahmed and Fareed is here to drive the... Ahmed Fareed is where I was trying to go with that. Ahmed Fareed is here. It's 24-20. Lions over Rams. We got a banged up Matthew Stafford going to the commercial break, right? So we're kind of on edge to see what happens here. But as usual, we're here to break down at least all the games that have happened to this point. We know we got two more on Monday, and of course we'll break them down later in the week. But we are here. Ahmed is feeling good right now.
I'm feeling okay.
He's a little nervous, but he's not, like, overly nervous.
I would like our defense to be showing a little more resistance. Right. Did hold him to a field goal there. I don't want Matthew Stafford to be out because, as I've said many times on this podcast, he is my second favorite player of all time.
Right.
Maybe Jared Goff will be my second favorite player if they win this game here tonight. So they took him into the tent. So, as always, you guys know a little bit more than we do in real time, but I'm going to be distracted. I'm going to be perfectly honest.
I hope you are. Own it. You're a Lions fan. You're wearing your Lions blue. Yes. And if I have to host a pod every now and then, I'll do that, okay? So don't you worry. But, yeah, we got lots of good stuff to talk to. Yes. This one's been really good. And to your point, you know, yeah, I know you want your Lions defense to play better. The Rams defense is incapable so far of stopping the Lions. That's what worries me more than anything. As usual, we're seeing five people at the line of scrimmage, five D linemen. The Rams are trying to play five big people and then stop the pass game off of that. And within that, they're stopping nothing. So yeah. I do think they got to take a few chances. We'll see where it goes. We'll keep you updated, as usual, on the game that you know already.
Yes.
We'll give you the updates.
So if you're looking for the updates of, or like our analysis of Lions and Rams, just listen to the whole podcast because we will be giving it the whole podcast, basically.
It's an ongoing thing.
We do have three games that are final. We would have had another game. It would have been Bills and Steelers, but that game got moved to Monday.
And I'm glad it did. I'm happy it got moved. I mean, tomorrow is MLK Day.
That's true.
You know,
we're off.
I got to work in the morning,
right?
But I am excited that, you know, like the afternoon, I can sit down like a normal human seeing a doubleheader. I'm excited for that. Hopefully the snow has cleared out a little bit in Buffalo. That was crazy weather. But we'll see. And then on top of that, what does a peacock sound like?
Yeah, good call.
Because Pete said he had a sound of what the peacock sounded like, and I'd actually like to know. I think it's more of a yell, but I'm not sure about that.
All right, Pete, can we play it?
Yeah.
It's like a hawk?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what you would say it's like, but it's certainly not what Morgan tried to do in her peacock.
It's not a chicken. It's like a bird with a little more bass.
A little more bass, and then gets the real kah, kah. Yeah. It's pretty good. So I feel like I've heard that before, and I'm like, I don't know. I've been in South Florida before, in some of those neighborhoods like Coral Gables, or damn, there's another one I'm blanking on where they like walk around freely. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And you'll hear those noises, and I know where the hell that noise is coming from.
Pete says there are tons in the Bronx Zoo, so you hear them all over the place if you go there.
You just got to go to the Bronx. Come now, to the tropical Bronx, and you'll hear peacocks.
Now I know why we use the chimes instead of the peacock. Because I don't think that would work quite as well here.
Right.
Looks like the Lions are going to have to play. Although Jared Goff is trying to roll for a first down.
Neither defense could stop the other team's offense, and here we are now. The Lions are going to go three drives with only scoring one field goal, and the same thing for the Rams. And are they about to go for it here?
No way. No, they're on their own 40. So I don't think so.
You like to bite kneecaps in Detroit. I'm not sure. I don't know. They had a very – it's going to be the end of the quarter, and he's going to be able to think about this. But they showed – yeah, it looked like he tripped over his own guy, took the sack. But we're going to see when they come back from this commercial break. We are going to let you know it's 4th and 7, and Dan Campbell might be going crazy.
You better not do that whole try to get him to jump off sides to make it 4th and 2, because I would disown
you'll,
Dan
You'll start
Campbell.
Rooting for the Rams.
I'll root for
happens.
The Rams if they do that. All right, we're not going to be distracted. We're not going to be distracted. Let's start off with the game that is final from this Sunday. The shocker. The shocker of all shockers in the playoffs so far. We've only had 3 games. Yeah. But this is the shocker.
Right.
The number 2 seed Cowboys are done.
Yeah.
The number 7 seed Packers. The first time in the history of the NFL a 7 seed has won a game.
Right.
Never happened before.
Yeah.
Packers didn't just win. They blew them out.
Blew them out.
And this game ended 48-32. It wasn't 48-32 close.
No.
It wasn't even close.
It's more like 48-20, 48-17 type of football game, honestly.
So, like, I'll let you go either way. I'll let you go Packers love, or I'll let you go Cowboys hate. What hits strongest for you?
I will say this. So you heard me say all day. I know I picked the Cowboys to win the football game. I said on my picks podcast, which I know you listen to a lot of the times, I said if there was an upset to happen this weekend, that was the game to be had, right? We always talk about, like, yeah, there's teams that are better, and we know that, but there's matchups, of course, that are just not always favorable, even to the better team at times, right? And this was one where I looked at the Packers and went, okay, hey, there's some things that are in their favor. We always talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the ability to stop the run, right? They have a size problem. Green Bay's, we can run the ball really well, let alone they're creative at it, too. Aaron Jones is on fire the way he's playing, right? So there's that aspect. That's the first thing. The second thing that I was intrigued by was, one, Joe Barry, the D coordinator of the Green Bay Packers, which I have looked at, and we know it's not been a great defensive showing by them, especially the second half of the year. But Mike McCarthy, basic West Coast offense. Joe Barry was with me when I was with John Gruden, West Coast. He knows all those rules. He's been around a lot of West Coast guys, including McVay. So he knows the basic rules, and which is what Mike McCarthy does. Added on top of that, Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers, he was on the staff with Dan Quinn down in Atlanta when he was the head coach and he was working for Shanahan as the offensive coordinator. So there was knowing of their system there. So I think between those two things, I'm mad that I was a chicken, right? Not the peacock, the chicken. Mm-hmm. And I didn't pick Green Bay, but there were some things there that I went, huh, I know Dallas is better and they're the 2 and this is the 7, but there's some things about this where I go, Green Bay could pose some problems. We know Dallas likes to play man-to-man. They got the receivers that can run in Green Bay, right? So where I'm going to start is Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay, are you kidding me? It's one of the best defenses in football this year, and they marched up and down the field on the Dallas Cowboys at will. I know the final stats are going to say Dallas outgained them by 95 yards. No, they didn't. Not when the game mattered. It didn't matter. Green Bay would have never been stopped all day long. They could have gone to 700-800 yards. But, you know, I think it's Jordan Love and some of the big throws early on, right? I felt like Dallas was playing the run, and he hit a few big throws, and then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, we can't overplay the run. Jordan Love in the pass game, they got a few answers for us here. Now we got to worry about the pass game. And then as that kind of went on, then it became, oh, no, now here comes the run game as well. And they started to just dominate in all phases of the football game. And, of course, we know Dak Prescott and company made a few mistakes, and the Green Bay defense made a few big plays. But, yeah, disappointing for Dallas.
Yeah.
12-5, 3 years in a row, 3-1 and outs. And then this one here, it's a team that the training wheels were on Jordan Love. They were finding their footing for the first 10 weeks of the year. Then they kind of got hot. They hit a little low. They got hot again at the end of the year. Dallas certainly didn't think Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love, young football team trying to kind of reignite themselves after Aaron Rodgers was going to come into town and just whoop their ass the way they did.
There's so many ways we're going to go with this because there are so many interesting storylines on both sides. But let's go to Damn OK from 49ers701. Says, Damn OK, Jordan Love. I think it's time to say you were not crazy for putting Love over Tua in your rookie class quarterback rankings. That was in 2020.
Yeah.
You had Love over Tua.
Yeah.
And then your dad called you up and said, switch it, Christopher.
Well, there's and I don't, you know, and I thank you for the at Love at 49ers701. I really do appreciate that, right? And that's, to me, that's another at the deeper conversation of, like, again, that's the hard thing about ranking the quarterbacks, because you're like, well, one will be, this guy will be better in year one.
Yeah.
But if this guy continues to progress the way I think he will, when year 3 or 4 gets here, I think he has more of a ceiling, right? And that's where it was tough with Jordan Love, because I saw things, as you know, at the time where I was like, damn, he makes some throws and some plays, and Tua can't do that.
Yeah.
But there would be plays where you'd go, man, the mechanics are horrible, and how do you miss that throw or make that throw?
Yeah.
And, of course, Tua was a little more consistent, but no wow factor. Yeah, you make me choose who I want right now, you know who I'm choosing.
It's Jordan
Love for sure.
You're not – I mean, like, I think at this point
– I think it's almost everybody,
this
right?
is what I say, too, about NFL analysts out there.
Yeah.
You either sound like Chris Sims or you will sound like Chris Sims in the future.
You're nice. You're making me blush over here.
But seriously, on this, right? I don't think there's anyone after what we've seen in the playoffs, and we'll get to Miami and what they look like in cold weather again. But it just seems like the high-end talent, and there's still plays that I'm sure Jordan, it's just like, oh, that's a little reckless.
Yeah.
But it's like he's turning into the guy where it's just like, you're like, yeah, let it rip.
He can make plays and throws, right? You know, he can make plays and throws that make us go, wow. He can make plays and throws where we go, wait, the defense played pretty good here, and he still got it in there, or he hung in the pocket, and you go, whoa, he's under pressure, and there's people there, and he's calm and cool and hangs on that back foot, right? He's got long arms, gigantic hands, so he can flick the ball, and he does not blink in the pocket with people around him. That's what I love about his game more than anything. Can he be more of a machine? Still, certainly, there's room to grow, but I don't think I'm more proud of a human being in football right now than Jordan Love. I mean, come on, he was put in the toughest situation of football over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He had to sit behind a legend. I don't know if this guy's ever going to quit. He's going to be here forever.
Yeah.
And then he finally gets thrown in there, and it's like, hey, you better do good. You're replacing Aaron Rodgers. And it was a little shaky at first, but man, he hung in there. And their offense is fun to watch, certainly. They got a toughness about their football team. And you heard me say maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago when we kind of deep dove the Green Bay Packers offense for the first time, and I had the thought of, like, man, what would this offense look like with Aaron Rodgers, right? Because they're not running Aaron Rodgers offense anymore. They're running what Matt LaFleur does, and I love what Matt LaFleur does because it has, of course, a lot of that Shanahan, Mike McDaniel vibe of creativity, movement, a lot of plays that start off looking the same that are totally different, and there's checks and balances to everything. So it's extremely creative, way more creative than any offense Aaron Rodgers was ever involved in, but he had things the way he wanted done that way, and that's the way it was. But, man, Jordan Love, big-time throws under pressure today, big-time throws down the football field, and we're going to talk about a game that was similar to this, in my opinion, later, the Texans-Browns game.
Mm.
One team took advantage of the other team's over-aggressiveness to such a – and you heard me saying it throughout the day, and Dallas never changed or kind of combated what they were being hit with there.
Is the Wicks touchdown one of the
definitely
one of the plays that you're thinking of here? 100%. So we got the dots for that.
Okay, cool.
Dontavian Wicks, 20-yard touchdown. This was on 3rd and 7.
Yeah, that's third and seven, all-out blitz. Remember, they brought the all-out blitz. Wicks on the out. Wicks, this is a double post, so Wicks is on the inside slot here. He gets the wide departure release to Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore is going, wait, we're blitzing seven people. They have to throw it fast, right? Okay, so he's not expecting them to be able to hold the ball and do whatever they got to do. And then, on top of that, okay, Wicks at the top of the route makes a move like he's going to make the out route, right? Remember seeing that, Ahmed? And then
yeah.
He broke to the post. So Gilmore had no chance. But my point in what you're bringing up and helping me set up here is that Dallas, as everybody's heard me all year, it's not about like, oh, wow, they're so creative, I got to figure this out. It's kind of just dealing with the chaos up front, and you're going to get man-to-man most of the time in the back end. And Green Bay today was like, wait, they knew that was coming there. They were prepared for that. He saw the alignment by the defense, and he went, wait, I'm going to audible. I'm going to keep the tight end in now. Hey, tight end, you stay in and block. And they kind of had, you know, everybody picked up except for 14 Bell, who was a little free. And he hung in there on that back foot and threw the ball up into a safe spot in the middle of the field where Dontavian Wicks could catch the ball and nobody else could. And, yes, it was plays like that throughout the day, right? There was another play. About the over-aggressiveness. You're going to remember this when I kind of paint the picture for you, right? What do teams do to teams that play man-to-man all the time? They like to run those crossers, the rub routes, right? Remember the big play to Dobbs. They run a play-action pass. Dobbs starts to run the deep crosser. Stephon Gilmore's going, everybody runs deep crossers on me all year. This is what people do to try to beat us man-to-man. So he starts to undercut it. They put the brakes on, and he works back out, and all of a sudden Stephon Gilmore's like, what? But again, that's knowing what they're getting and having a game plan and being aggressive off of it, let alone we saw a number of other huge plays in the pass game that were like that. The Luke Musgrave 38-yard touchdown pass, what do you think that was? Dallas, they knew, was too over-aggressive. They knew the two linebackers in the middle would fuck it up and overplay the run, and the tight end snuck out the back door wide open for a touchdown. So, yeah, they used Dallas's aggressiveness against them today in a big way, and of course, you know, bit Dallas's ass pretty hard.
Jam 92 wants to give some love to that offensive line for the Packers. Yeah. Says, damn okay to that offensive line. As a Niners fan, I very much hope that Arik Armstead is healthy enough to play. That line was doing enough in the pass game and mauled in the run game. So Aaron Jones goes for 118 yards, three touchdowns. He's from El Paso,
ooh,
went to UTEP.
That's right.
And now
big
he's got,
job. Big
he's got four career games versus Dallas.
And he's teared them up every time.
Right? Nine touchdowns.
That's incredible.
Almost 500 yards.
That's incredible.
So good
he,
for him.
Good for him is right, right? I mean, smaller running back, who nobody told him he's small, right? He's like, he thinks he's 250. He breaks a lot of tackles, and he has game-breaking speed. But, you know, the tough runs over the middle, in the middle, you know, from our at Jam 92, I mean, you're exactly right.
Look at those numbers.
Right. I mean, it's incredible. And it's the runs up the middle, yikes, where you go, oh, wait, he's only going to get 6 or 8 yards here. And then it's, oh, he got 12. Or, oh, he's going to get 2 yards. He gets 6. It's all of those that start to add up, let alone he's got great vision and he knows how to read the cutback lanes or when to bounce it out. And he's not too – he doesn't do it too much. He has the right touch, I guess, is what I'm saying there. And then you add on top of that what our man at Jam 92 is talking about. I love the Packers O-line. I really do. I think they got a chance to be one of the more special O-lines in football next year and going into the future. They got young talent. They got big guys. They can run the ball, as we know, and road grade a little bit.
Yeah.
And they can pass protect. And the way they throw the ball down the field, the 49ers don't blitz. They're pretty creative. Yeah, I hear you at Jam 92. They'll be a handful trying to deal with you know, this Packers offense and all the things that they do. We're just checking in on the Lions and Rams. The Rams are driving.
Carving them up.
And, yes, they are. They are running and throwing the ball all over the Lions defense right now. And if you're wondering why Amon isn't chiming in at moments, is because his head is swaying back and forth.
I'm listening.
And he's
listening,
and he's also going, oh, gosh, another 20-yard gain. Oh, another 8-yard run. And right now the Rams are at the 13-yard line, 9:36 left in the fourth quarter. It is first and 10. And you guys have done a pretty good job on this part of the field all day, so let's see if they can actually
punch it in.
Yeah, they
have held them to some field goals here. And
yeah.
Negative play on first down, that's good.
There we go. Right. That's the key right there.
You know who didn't have a whole lot of negative plays? The Cowboys defense. Samuel.
back to the point.
Samuel
here.
Tessier says, does the blowout loss by the Cowboys take Dan Quinn off of some head coaching opportunities? That defense looked defeated all night. So this is a discussion of Dan Quinn. This is a discussion of Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Is this his last game there?
Right.
There are some around Dallas that know Dallas that think Dan Quinn maybe was the coach in waiting, that Jerry Jones really likes some of the things.
Right.
They just gave up, not 48 points because one was a pick six, right? So,
yeah,
over 40 points. Yeah, exactly.
42, 41, whatever.
So they gave a bunch of points here.
Yeah.
What do we think about the coaching situation in Dallas right now?
Yeah, I expect a drastic change. Now, whether I don't know if that means Mike McCarthy. I think it's going to be Mike McCarthy. You know,
it's going to be him?
I think he's going to be fired. I do. I have. If you made me just, you know, read, you know, in between the tea leaves and all that.
Yeah, go deep in between
those.
Go
deep in there. I'm going real deep in there. It's I would say, and he made me bet, Mike McCarthy will not be the head coach by the end of the week. I told you, or at least Florio earlier this week, you know, Belichick in Atlanta is a real thing, and people I know and trust around the NFL also think it's on the radar for him and the Dallas Cowboys on both sides. We'll see where that goes.
My mind has made that a done deal.
Yeah,
it just makes too much sense.
I hear you. The only thing I think that doesn't make sense is the people who know both of them go, wait, can they really work together? That's, I think, the only
thing.
They
like each other.
They like each other as human beings, but working together, one guy's going to be like, hey, I'm the boss, and the other one's going to be like, oh, I'm the boss. What are you talking about? This is football. And he's going, no, I'm Jerry Jones. This is my football team.
But you know, and I get that, right? But in these relationships, I mean, you're not thinking long-term here. You're thinking, one, two. Like, for Jerry, it's like, we have a team now that can win.
I agree.
Right? It's not like I'm handing over my team to Bill Belichick for the next 20 years.
Right.
It's just like, you know, he's getting up there, I'm getting up there, let's come together and let's win one together.
Right. Right.
I mean, I think to your point there,
it is like, as much as I wonder about the personalities clashing.
Yeah, like, I want control. No, I want control.
I think there's, I kind of said this to you earlier, I think there's a desperation from the Jones family and Jerry, who's getting up there in age, where he might finally go, you know what? You know, just let me be a part of it, but get us right, get us straight, get us to an NFC Championship game, something like that, right? And maybe he could like check his ego at the door a little bit and go, okay, I'll let you do football, you got it, it's you. I might ask you to do some crazy business stuff because we're the Cowboys every now and then.
Yeah,
but that's where they can meet in the middle, and we'll see where it goes from there. But to your point about, all right, Dan Quinn and Mike McCarthy, right? And our question there from at Samuel Tessier, I would say this. One, I didn't like Jerry Jones's comment early in the week. You heard me say that.
Yeah.
The fact that he was like, well, we're going to see, you know, how each week goes in the playoffs. Yeah. That took a lot of power away from your head coach going into a big playoff game. Hey, guys, like, you know, this guy that's your general, he might not be your general next year.
I mean, there was already enough pressure on him.
Exactly right. Let alone he's telling about the expectations of his football team and all that. I didn't like any of that. I thought that was stupid by Jerry Jones, for lack of a better way to say it. But the other thing that I think plays into this, and I said this to you at halftime of the Football Night in America, and the more I think about it, the more I'm happy that I said this, that if I'm in the locker room in Dallas, I'm not sure I believe in Mike McCarthy. I'm not. You know, again, if you're on the offensive side of the ball, you're going, yes, we put up good stats and yards and all that, but do we really do it against any of the good football teams, right? Those guys are smart enough and been around enough to go, these plays aren't that great. They're not that creative. And then, you know, the fact that they can't quite meet the expectations year in and year out, and that they've lost, you know, what they're going to look at is, you know, 3 1-and-dones here. And I think they're going to look at it, too, and go, wait, you know, we probably should have won 2 out of those 3, or we felt like we were the better team on the football field in 2 out of those 3. So that's where, you know, and it's not 3 1-and-dones. I'm wrong about that. Last year they won one, and then they went to the 49ers and lost.
He's 1-3 in the postseason with Dallas.
That's right. That's what I meant to say. But either way, that's where I do question his effect and leadership on the locker room that way, and whether they're going to believe in him. And we know that Mike McCarthy is kind of a social media memes, people want to jump on him for whatever reason type of guy anyways. So that's that part of it. The Dan Quinn part of it. Listen, at Samuel Tessier, everything I know, Dan Quinn's got the inside track to become the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, right? And I'm sure people in Seattle today who are making those decisions are going, wait, are we sure we want to hire Dan Quinn today? Because the first 2 or 3 bad games we have on defense next year, everyone's going to go, didn't you see the playoff game? You hired him after that playoff game? And I think that's fair, too. So I know there's a relationship there. There's still a lot of people there that were with Dan Quinn when he was the D coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. But I would certainly think the powers to be in Seattle are going to be thinking twice tonight about, wait, do we really want to go all in on Dan Quinn? And the perception around him and how that looked on Sunday against Green Bay is definitely dicey.
And then there was Dak, too, which goes hand in hand here. With, I think, Mike McCarthy, have we seen the last of him there? And it would be almost inconceivable that we've seen the last of Dak there in Dallas, but this is just such, it's 2 years in a row of just like, it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. Yeah. It's all about the postseason. Then here Dak says after the game, he goes, I sucked tonight. That was it. We got it going a little bit late, but none of that mattered at that point. Fought. That's all I really know how to do, but it's about winning. It's about winning in the playoffs, getting to that last game, winning that as well. Yeah. Tough. I think we have the dots of his pick six, Darnell Savage, here, too. He had 2 picks in the game. I mean, he threw for over 400 yards, to your point. Much of that came when the game was already wrapped up. I mean, he had to throw the ball 60 times in this game. The defense was terrible.
Yeah.
This was not, like, Dak Prescott's fault that they lost this game. But he is the highest profile player on the team. And
highest paid player, right?
And once again, they're going home in the postseason early.
That's right. And you know, Dak had a great year, right? The Cowboys don't want to play this style of football. We know that. We talk about it all the time. Dallas is kind of the team that likes to go up, and we made some explosive plays on offense, and we're up 10-0, and now you're playing catch-up, and we have this great pass rush, and that's just what we wanted. you know, we're up by two scores, and now you have to throw a little more than you'd like to, and now Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence are all over you all the time, right? They never got in mode of that. So Dallas's defense never got the ability to go, like, hey, we can pin our ears back. They always were like, well, we still got to stop the run, and we got to respect that. But, you know, Dak Prescott, there was the two interceptions. And, again, one of them was his fault, okay? Out of the two, Jaire Alexander, the first one, he made an incredible play. And on point to that, too, again, you've heard me make fun of this with Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys before. What route was it? Oh, the old slant route. You know, they go to the slant well way too much in Dallas. So Jaire Alexander made a great play, a little hand fighting there, gets the interception. Now, can we go back to the dots there, Pete?
Yeah.
Because the dots on the pick six, now this is Dak Prescott's fault, but it's an incredible play.
That's what Devin McCourty.
It's an incredible play.
Deals. That's an unbelievable play. And it doesn't appear to me. I'm like, okay, I guess. But so why is it
incredible?
We can
slow it down here a little bit or maybe rewind. I don't know if you can do that or not, Pete. But, okay, so maybe like when this gets over and they get set up here. So, okay, so just pause it once it gets – when they get back lined up here so I can really explain it. So right here, pause it. See, right now, Ahmed, it's man-to-man across the board. And 26, even though he looks like he's playing like a cover two safety,
yeah,
he's going to roll down and cover number three. Okay, Darnell Savage is going to cover three Brandon Cooks over the middle and take him on the slant route. But as he's taking him on the slant route, he's disciplined. He's watching in the backfield with his eyes, and he's seeing Dak Prescott, wait, he looked at my guy, and now he's looking across the field. And then again, it's a triple slant concept, which I hate. I just hate. I absolutely hate, because teams that play Mike McCarthy and all this, they know he likes to go to this. And it's a typical West Coast scheme that they rely on when things aren't going well. Oh, this is safe. Let's run slant routes. We do this all the time in practice. Well, they know it too. And Savage, then, as he's seeing Cooks and he's going, wait, I'm on him, but I'm seeing Dak's eyes move now to CeeDee Lamb, and he knows, wait, that's CeeDee Lamb. He wants to go there anyways. He comes off his guy. Let it play now, Pete. If you guys are watching here, you'll see. 26 comes off as he reads the eyes and undercuts it. And now he goes, bam, to the house. See you later.
Game over.
And that was pretty much game over. You're right about that. Ipke game, 27-7 at half. And we went, well, Dallas gets the ball to start the first half. Let's see where it goes, right? Second half, excuse me. You know, can they make it 27-14 and start to make this a football game? They get held to a field goal, and then Green Bay answers right back and goes right down the field, an explosive nature, and scores another touchdown, and it was 34-10. And then I was like, okay, now it's officially over. And that was kind of all she wrote, and it was just playing catch-up from that point on for Dallas and throwing the ball and prevent defense from Green Bay.
Like, I don't even know how you would move on from Dak, but it just seems like there's – and I don't think they'd want to, right? He's still, in your mind, a top 10-ish quarterback in football, right?
Definitely.
Just led the NFL in passing touchdowns, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He's a if you can tell me they got some superstar bona fide person coming to town, then okay, fine. But Dak Prescott's really damn good. I am still a believer, and you can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. But you're right. There's this negative national perception. It even seems like it creeps into Dallas a little bit there, to where they want to blame him for everything.
It's just think about how much pressure is mounting each and every year on that playoff game.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know. Well, and I think, too, that's probably why they have to make the Mike McCarthy change.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go – you said it earlier. You're like – if they go 14-3 next year, we're all going to sit there and go, well, I don't – playoffs, we'll see. That's great. They're the best team in football. I'll believe it when I see it if they can win this next one, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I think they're going to have to answer that. Dak Prescott is really damn good. You've heard what I've said. They don't run the ball that great. They're not that creative on offense. The offense is one of the top in football because of Dak Prescott. His ability to hang in the pocket and throw the football down the field. I know he's not Mahomes or Josh Allen. He's not that, but he's still damn good. And here's one other thing I want to bring up, and Pete reminded me, and I thought this was neat. The fact that the Green Bay Packers, in the day and age of winning the coin toss and going, we'll kick off, we defer to the second half, Green Bay said, fuck that. We're going to get the ball. We like our offensive game plan. We're not going to let Dallas go up 7-0 and play the game that we just talked about. Well, we're up now, our pass rush, and we get crazy, and the stadium's crazy, and we get all the momentum, right? They snatched the momentum right from the start of the football game and made Dallas play a game where, whoa, you going to play catch up? Have fun doing that. And they reversed the tables on him, and I thought that was a brilliant play by Matt LaFleur as well.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
And
nobody could stop the offenses in the first half. And here we are now. The Lions just had a 3rd and 4. Jared Goff tried to throw a tight back shoulder to the right, lost control of the ball, and it kind of flew over the defender's head. Receiver's head, Reynolds, excuse me.
Sailed on him, wobbly.
He throws a lot of wobblers, but usually they're accurate. It's 4th and 4. Rams better be in total defense here with Dan Campbell. He will fake a punt. But right now it is setting up.
To the defense. It's got to be the defense, which is, like you mentioned, has played well in the red zone, but now it's a 1-point game, so that doesn't even matter.
Wow, what a punt. Oh! What a punt, though. They got the ball at their own 8-yard line
here.
They
got to get some pressure on the quarterback. All right. last thing, to your point on the offense and what they got going in Green Bay. The funniest thing of this whole thing is that if you're Aaron Rodgers out there and you could handpick your offense that you'd rather play in right now, without a doubt, it's the Green Bay Packers over the New York Jets.
It's not even close.
Offensive line.
You heard me saying during the game a few times, I was like, what is Aaron Rodgers thinking watching this?
Receivers.
Right. The running back's still awesome. They got young guys on off defense that are really talented, and they're going to be stars, right? So, yeah, and that's to me where I've told you before, Aaron Rodgers doesn't know what he doesn't know. He doesn't. You know, he wants things his way. He's been taught something this way, and he goes, I just want it that way. And what I would just say is just, Matt LaFleur, his offense is way more creative than the Aaron Rodgers offense, certainly. So, yeah, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers had some appreciation for Jordan Love and what he did today, but I think in his heart of hearts, he was probably like, gosh, they won? I can't believe that, right? You know, without me, the first year, they just go down there and put on a show?
Yeah.
Right? That is a little blow to his ego for sure.
Just do the redo. It's like we already have the parameters of what he's worth just to swap it back and just see if that'll work.
Well, Green Bay ain't going to do that now.
Yeah, that's
They're going to be like, wait, our guy is? He'll stand in here and throw lasers down the field all day. You could have that guy.
All right. So the Packers are moving on for the first time ever in NFL history. The 7 seeds going on to play another game. We've seen this story before with the Kansas City Chiefs. They're getting in the postseason, and they are dominating, especially at home. And in cold weather, the Miami Dolphins had no chance. This game was on Peacock. As Mike Tirico said, 23 million people watched on Peacock.
That's impressive.
I got a lot of tweets of people saying they weren't going to sign up.
Yeah,
They did.
They signed up. They talked tough.
And if you did and you didn't want to, we do appreciate that. We hope you enjoyed the game. We hope you had a fun time. Chris and I were part of it with Devin and Jason Garrett on the call, and it was cool. It was kind of to take people behind the curtain, as I like to do.
Yeah,
it was a big day for our company too. You know, we were kind of nervous. If no one watched, we'd be gone. We'd be finding new jobs.
We had a lot of people in the building that aren't usually here that were here yesterday, right? Because they were like, "Wait, this is a big deal to our company."
Yeah.
So it certainly was, right? And it was a great look on TV because of how cold it was.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, it's Mahomes in Kansas City, which we know is special. And then it's, the story about any team that comes from Florida, let alone the Dolphins and Tua and all that. Can they play in this cold weather and do all that? And, of course, the Taylor Swift element. it was great. It really was. And, I think more people tuned in than they would like to admit. to that one, and hopefully they got their $5.99 money's worth out
absolutely
of that
for one game. And now you get Big Ten basketball, and you also get Columbo, every season of Columbo too, and all the episodes.
Right.
So there's many reasons to continue.
One to more thing on top of that, I told my aunt was like, "Oh, Peacock, I don't want to pay the $5.99." I was like, "Wendy, all the dumb shit you spend $6 on," I was like, you're worried about this. I was like, well, just think about it as like you're contributing to the Christopher Sims Family Foundation, okay?
Yeah.
She's like, well, when you put it that way, okay, I'll do it. So she bought it too. I suckered her into it.
So the second big headline, obviously, outside of the game streaming on Peacock, and we all made history together, you viewers and people on the telecast combined. The Chiefs looked awesome in this game. They handled the elements great.
Right.
I mean, it's really cool to see. This was football, and this was a bunch of football players, and it was Patrick Mahomes saying, I'm not affected by it.
Right.
It was Rashee Rice saying, I'm not affected by it. And it was Isaiah Pacheco being like, I didn't even know it was cold out. I just was running the way I normally run out here.
Yeah. Right.
It was just a team that looked bigger and better on defense, too, with the Chiefs.
Yep.
A team that wanted to be there, was a football team versus a Miami Dolphins team that was like banged up, yes. And I want to give that the banged up,
yes.
But also after a while looked like, well, we don't want to.
They want to play in a show. They want to be like, let's go in a show. Let's have fun. It's Broadway. Look at all these big plays. I don't know if they always want to play in like gritty, you know, what I would say phone booth, tough, hard nosed, gritty football. Right? They like it when it's like a 7-on-7 football game. The one thing, and I know you've heard me say this and all the listeners, the Chiefs will never get credit for how tough and physical they are as a football team, right? But I think you saw that. And there's a physicality in the game itself that you could see pretty much early on that Miami couldn't match it, right? Now, the Kansas City Chiefs, as we know too, right, the Kings of kind of messing things up early on in the football game, where I was like, oh gosh, here go the Chiefs again, right? Should be up 27-7, and here it was like 10-7 late in the second quarter, and you're like, are you kidding me? They're dominating the football game. I mean, we had the Kelce dropped, you know, all-out blitz that should have been a touchdown, a screen pass that should have been a touchdown, and the guy blocked him in the back even though the guy wasn't going to make the tackle anyways. Mecole Hardman can't see the ball. It literally, like, fell right at his feet, right? So they did some stupid shit like always, but I do think they embraced with who they were a little bit and kind of said, wait, let's play defense. We'll run the ball. Mahomes will throw some screens out here. We'll control the clock, and then Mahomes will make a few magical plays, and that's all we need to be. That's a tough playoff football formula. It doesn't need to be much more complicated than that. Oh my gosh, Hunter Higbee's leg might just be broken.
I mean, his face might be broken too. His back might be broken.
They went to the bootleg. He tried to throw the crosser. He got hit low right in the knee.
Oh man,
and it's bad. And I don't want to. You tell me. I can't look.
Oh,
I don't want to look.
I mean, it was pretty bad. Yeah, don't look.
Okay.
Don't look. Don't
it's like
look. I mean, it's hyperextended. It's hyperextended.
So
I mean, who knows?
It
might not have.
ACL or
but
something.
It's a knee.
He's done either way. Shit. All right. Well, it could hopefully it was like Laporta last week, where the knee bends the wrong way, but the guy can heal in 5 days, and you're like, holy shit.
Oh man, I was more worried about his head and his back.
Oh man.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So
all right.
Back to the game.
Back
Kansas
to the
City
game.
And Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk Kansas City, the physicality, the element. We talk all the things we've talked about Miami, right, too. This Kansas City knows how to defend them. One, they never let the edge runs get going, right?
Yep.
You heard me all pregame and the pregame show, whatever, right? That's where the Dolphins want to run the ball. Go ahead.
Before we get to that side of the ball, I want to pause because I still
want
to – let's hammer home on the offensive side of the ball
because
there is a lot to get to on that side of the ball,
the
Chiefs' defensive side of the ball. Let's go inside the numbers, powered by AWS. Let's look at Patrick Mahomes specifically here, a little bit more on him, because the Miami Dolphins were missing their top three edge rushers. This is Next Gen Stats says the Dolphins used cover zero on 18 dropbacks. I mean, this was fun.
We were talking and we were watching the game, right?
Tied for the second most in the game since 2018. And Mahomes was not great versus it. It was just 7 of 18, 74 yards versus the other coverages. He had the touchdown. He had 188 yards. Here's his passing chart you can see right here. But it was it. I mean, like, take us – what does that mean? They used cover zero on 18 dropbacks. We talked about it on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio was sending – guys left and right every single play. Like, what was their strategy?
He knew they had no chance unless they forced the issue and put some pressure on the Kansas City Chiefs a little bit. you know, with the injuries like you mentioned, no Jalen Phillips, no Bradley Chubb, no Van Ginkle, right? Those are big deals. So they have no pass rush. When Mahomes and company, it was just a four-man pass rush. I mean, he could bake a cake, sell it down the street, then have a fucking iced tea stand somewhere too, right? I mean, so he had all day. So Vic Fangio finally, he saw that and was like, wait, if he does that, we'll never get off the field. Mm-hmm. So he decided to force the hand a little bit. Let me pressure. It might help the run defense a little bit. And then on top of that, yes, it's going to make – we'll see if Mahomes and Andy Reid are all brushed up on their cover zero rules and what that is. And for all those out there who are going, cover zero, I hear that all the time. What the hell is that? Cover zero means they're blitzing more than you can protect, and there's basically no free safety in the middle of the field, and it's just 5 one-on-ones with no help. And they're thinking the blitz will get there, so they don't have enough time to throw the ball down the field. Yeah. But smart quarterbacks, smart coaches, when they play in a team that they know that's part of their arsenal, they have answers all the time. And I think that's what we saw last night. Mahomes, such a general at the line of scrimmage, getting the protection set up and then knowing where to go. And not like you said, it wasn't like mind-blowing stats. They should have been better. They dropped some balls and whatever else.
Well, yeah.
But the main thing was they didn't let negative plays happen, right? They call in cover zero because he's going, we're outmanned tonight. Let's see if we can get him behind the chains a little bit, a few times, to get off the field. And that's where Mahomes was great, is he never let that happen. The worst thing that happened is, okay, he threw it. It was incomplete, but it's still 2nd and 10 or 3rd and 8 or whatever else. It wasn't 3rd and 18 now, and now it's a totally different football game.
Yeah.
And that was the beauty of them having a plan there.
I thought for Vic Fangio it was a great plan, right? Because even if you're one-on-one, guy's open, it's still windy, it's cold, there's higher chances of make a play, make
their
a catch downfield.
Their tackles have been an issue all year. They haven't done things right. Listen, at some point you got to just come to the realization and go, wait, if I just play my normal defense, we're going to die. Mm-hmm. So why don't I try something else? And maybe we survive a little bit longer or make something happen. And I think that's basically what, he came to the determination of.
Yeah. And it's so cold that we might die anyway, was what they were thinking.
That's right.
4th and 14 now for the Rams. I think they might go for this.
I don't think they should. They should punt it down there. 4th and 14 is too much.
If they punt it, they won't get the ball back.
Well, they
I'm calling
might not.
It right now.
That's definitely the risk. Right. So
I didn't. Was the hold? There was a hold.
Yeah,
it knocked him out of field goal range. Was it a hold?
It was Aiden Hutchinson. It was. It was a hold. Havenstein.
Okay. Oh, there's a hold too.
Ooh.
On Puka Nacua.
Yeah,
by Cam Sutton.
It was definitely a little holding. Okay. Definitely. But hopefully I think you punt the ball here. And to your point, Detroit, they could run the clock out here. This is one of those where you hope you can get a 3 and out, but if you don't get a 3 and out, you have to become ultra aggressive and basically get the stop or let them score a touchdown. And then go, okay, we're down by 8, and now we got to score a touchdown and tie it up. But that's the decision that the Rams defense might have to make. I'm nervous, all right? I picked the Rams to win this game. I'd like to be right, okay? I'd like to be right. I'm pissed that I still didn't pick the Packers to win, as I told you.
Yes.
And I'm on record yesterday with Cleveland's going to kind of control the Texans, and they lost. So I feel stupid right now.
And that was Inside the Numbers, powered by AWS. With a bonus.
We gave them their money's worth.
Update on the
Rams.
We're
not out of this Chiefs-Dolphins game yet, though. We're not out of this yet.
No, we're definitely not. Okay, definitely not. Because we were Inside the Numbers right there. Now we go Inside the Helmet. Brought to you by, who makes the helmet?
The Broken Helmet?
Yeah, Inside the Helmet. Inside Patrick Mahomes' helmet. I mean, it was so cold that Patrick Mahomes lost a chunk of his
helmet. I don't buy that shit at all.
What do you mean?
I don't buy the cold thing. The guy who hits least of anybody on the football field, his helmet couldn't take the cold. But fucking Nick Bolton, the middle linebacker who's crushing people, his helmet's fine.
Yeah.
If you ask me what's the problem with his helmet,
what do you think?
Right? It's that he's thrown it on the ground so many times throughout the year being angry that it finally broke. Okay. How many times have we seen them this year, him or Kelsey, come off the sidelines, throw, slam the helmet on the ground, it bounces in the air? That, to me, would be the reason to think. I've never seen that happen.
Yeah.
And it's a quarterback. This is an Ironhead Hayward here.
The structural integrity was compromised.
That's what I'm trying to say, right. Mm. But that was a pretty amazing moment because we were all like, wait, was that his helmet that just broke? And then, of course, it was.
And then the other one was, yeah, the other one was frozen. Too tight. It was frozen, yeah.
And he couldn't get it on. And so they had a guy get it warm a little bit at first, and then they finally got it done. And, yeah, but Mahomes, I mean, he's the man. Tough, hangs in there, big plays, gets them organized on the offensive side of the ball. The Chiefs, as you see, and we'll talk about their defense here in a second, they're made for this right now, this playoff time of year. The way they play, and if they continue to stay true to this on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to be a tough out with this defense.
Real quick,
yeah.
What would you have done in a game that cold?
In a game that cold?
Yeah, like how would you – you never played in a game that cold.
Not that cold.
In high school?
High school I played like 10, 14 degrees, so right?
Never negative 30-degree wind chill.
I would have worn sleeves last night,
yeah,
right?
Me too.
You know, I mean, like I told you, I played in New England. It was 25. I wore no sleeves. But yeah. I was also trying to send a message to my Buccaneers football team that, hey, I know we're from Florida, but we can handle this, right? I would have worn just, again, I want to wear a sleeve that I still feel like I'm not constricted by my pads.
Sure.
That's the hard thing the quarterback has to go. It's like, yeah, you'd like to be warm, but I don't want to feel like I'm like in my snowsuit and I can't throw a football, right? So that's where the fine line. I would have been a little bit of sleeves, and I would have been all over my equipment manager going like, as soon as I step on the white on the sideline, I better have the big fucking coat on me, like right away, along with a winter cap, right, to kind of trap the heat in right away, and then you just got to sit on the bench right away. Those benches, they will keep you warm. It is capable to stay warm if you're playing between the emotions and the intensity and all that, to where you'd be shocked. You'd be sitting there in the second quarter going, I got a little sweat going. Even though, like, I'm on the sideline right now, I'm still warm. I'm ready to go. But you just got to be real diligent about all that
stuff.
You'd
have had hot hands, those packets in your hands. Your pouch.
Hot hands in the pouch. And you heard me talk about the big thing, too, is when the ball is cold, it's slick. So it's hard to, like, create moisture. So you're constantly like, trying to get, you know, air into your hands and whatever else. And, you know, I think we saw both quarterbacks have some struggles gripping the football clearly throughout the night.
Some of the receivers had issues. Yeah. Rashee Rice was not one of those receivers.
No, he was
eight
not.
Catches, a career-high 130 yards, and a touchdown. I think we have his receiving chart here. He was a dude. He was a dude in this game. I already kind of like Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
I like him a whole lot more after watching him, you know, in the elements in this one and have his best game in the biggest game for the Chiefs so far.
I think you're saying it right. He was a dude, right? Just tough. Seems like a football player. You know, catches a screen, lowers his shoulder, not afraid to take some contact and drive the pile forward. You know, runs through arm tackles. And, of course, has some speed to go along with it. That you know, makes him dangerous. But, yeah, he certainly seems like he is, out of the receivers, the guy that's in the trust tree the most with Andy Reid and Mahomes and Matt Nagy right now. And, so it's good to see. It's good to see for him. Go ahead. What were you going to say? And what?
No, I was going to get to the defense.
You
wanted to talk about the defense a little bit ago.
But I'm with you on the Rashee Rice, though. And we'll see if they can continue that. And I'm going to be interested to see who they end up having to play here in the next round.
Mahomes doesn't need much. He needs Travis Kelce to be a little bit better than he has been. He needs one other dude like Rashee Rice here. And then whoever
and
is open to make
a
run game for sure. And then, you know, hit Watson or MVS if he's open.
That's all I'm saying.
You know?
That's where I keep saying embrace the ugly. Yeah. Just play defense, run the ball. You're not going to throw for 380 this year. That's not going to happen. But this stat line right here is about what I would expect from them. You know, maybe not 23 for 41. They'd probably like 23 for 31 and a little bit better run stats. But either way, I think it was close to what we would like to see from them, at least for them to be successful.
TYZI94 says, damn okay, Chiefs. If the defense can play like that, who knows where this team can go? Thanks, homies. And then Henrique5 says, damn okay, Legarius Sneed. Shutting down Hill and other wide receiver ones this season. Pro Bowl snub, but should get his bag next year. He allowed just two receptions for 20 yards. In two games this season, Sneed has allowed one reception on eight combined targets to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, and he absolutely mauled Tyreek Hill on one. He Hill couldn't even get off the ground.
He made my first team All-Pro team. I voted for Legarius Sneed. I mean, all year long, he was phenomenal in every facet, whether it was man-to-man or zone, tackling, whatever. He can play the slot. He can play outside. He can do it all. He's smart. You know, like I said, he's not just a cover corner. He plays the run game the right way. That's the impressive thing about this Chiefs defense, too. Their secondary, their corners, you know, they take on blocks the right way. They understand when they have to set the edge and force the run back inside. They do a lot of good things like that. So, yeah, that was impressive. And they understand, you know, that kind of that fine balance, fine line, what we talked about of like, hey, we're going to be aggressive with Tyreek every now and then, but we're not going to live in that world because that's crazy. And we're going to change things up too. But the beauty, I think, of what their defense is, you know, like last night as we're watching the game, and, you know, I like to watch the sky cam because you can see the whole picture and everything there. I'm going, look, they're playing too deep and stopping the run, right? And that's because, again, it's a solid offensive line with Miami, but not a what I would just call a force yet, not a road grading force. And that is a force on the front seven by the Chiefs. When Bolden and Gay are healthy, it is an incredible duo. We know how talented they are on the D-line. They're creative with even what they do up front to go along with that. And, yeah, Miami couldn't win the physical battle, let alone kind of sort out the chaos at times that Spagnuolo threw at them.
So what about the Dolphins here?
Yeah, right.
And what about the Dolphins specifically offensively? Because defensively, I think, you know, you're missing Jalen Phillips, you're missing Bradley Chubb,
yeah.
Van Ginkle.
I don't worry about them going in the future.
100%.
I don't.
Those guys,
right.
I don't know their contracts, but Phillips is
young. He's still in the rookie contract.
Yeah.
Chubb, they re-signed last year. So you don't have to worry about that. Van Ginkle, I'm not sure of his status.
If they would have stayed healthy on the defensive side, they would have been a lot harder out.
Definitely.
In this one.
Definitely.
They would have made life significantly harder for the Chiefs in this game. The offensive side is what I want to see. Oh, Lions about to whittle this one away.
That might about end the game right
there. They got one timeout. Rams got one. I told you.
Yeah.
I called it. I said
yeah.
they wouldn't get the ball back.
Yeah, that was big right there.
I'm feeling it now.
You should feel it. Hey, your defense – holding them to field goals is going to win you the football game. That's really what it's all going to come down to. The fact that they've kicked three field goals?
I will not curse, Pete.
Three field goals.
Yeah.
That was huge. And one of them they missed. You remember the Cooper Kupp? He was open for a touchdown. He missed it. I mean, that was a big moment in the game.
All right, I'm still a little nervous. As a Lions fan, lifelong of following the team, you just until the clock says zero, you're holding it in. But Pete asked me if I will curse if the Lions win. I will not do that, but I will be very happy. Dan Campbell is cursing on our TV right now. Let's get this in real quick.
Yeah.
Dolphins offense.
Yeah.
Tua.
Right.
Because eventually, unless you're going to play at home, which they could do, I mean, they've got pieces to, you know, get home field advantage throughout. In the AFC, you're going to have to play on the road and a lot of cold places in January and December. Is this offense and Tua, can they do that?
I'm not sure about that. They have to be a tougher football team, right? That's the biggest thing. We talked about it really for the last 7 or 8 weeks of the year. Whenever a game got gritty or tough and didn't become a track meet, the Dolphins weren't good. The one game they won like that was the Dallas Cowboys, and I told you a bunch of times when they did that, I go, Dallas has the same problem. They're like Miami. They want to track meet too. As soon as it gets tough phone booth football, they're not very good either. So I wasn't like, oh, Miami won one of those games. They're good. Right, so I worry about that. They really got to become a really good offensive line, a football team, to where I think they can rely on the run game more and not be so based around the pass game. And I think, you know, on top of that, yeah, they're going to have to make a decision about Tua. That's the big thing, Ahmed. The decision about Tua is going to be a big deal. What are they going to offer him? I would not offer Tua anywhere near top of the market franchise quarterback money. I would make him an offer to be like, here's $28 million. Here's $25 million. Show me a team that's going to give you more than that. We're letting you be the starter, and it's $25 million. What do you want to do? Because I don't think there's going to be like teams out there going, oh, we'll pay Tua $40. I worry about Tua with all the things that you lined up.
Mm-hmm.
His arm is below average for an NFL starter to begin with. Right, he throws with good touch, but what choice does he have? He has to throw with good touch, or he wouldn't be able to play quarterback in football. And then you saw last night the inability to throw the ball through the wind, in the cold. The ball stood in the air for 7 hours on every throw. You have to be concerned about that. That, to me, is why the prior regime, I don't think, wanted Tua in the long term, because they were a bunch of New England coaches, and they were going, wait, if this guy has to go to New England in December or January, we have to win a playoff game, we're not going to be able to do it, right? So that's going to be the big, I think, talking point throughout the offseason is what do they do with Tua, what do they pay him, and what makes sense for their football team. But I do think that they got to become a tougher football team altogether.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. it probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
Much more to discuss on the Dolphins throughout this offseason. What do they do? How do they get over this cold weather situation? But ladies and gentlemen, it is over. The Detroit Lions have won a playoff game, first time in 31 years. Jared Goff is
24-23.
My gosh.
You called it. I said they wouldn't get the ball back.
I got aggressive right then. I felt it deep in my chest. Yeah, I was like, they ain't getting the ball back there. Well, that's my point, right? It's like if you're the Rams, right, you're like 4th and 14. I get it. That's a hard call to make.
They've made three stops in a row.
They have,
right?
Yes.
So that's where you're like, they can see, wait, we've done it. And they barely made the first down. But good for Detroit. I'm happy for them too.
So what happened with that? They had one more timeout left. I thought that the Lions would have to run at least one more or get a first down there, but I guess
they let it bleed to the two minute. They called a timeout one, but then they still it was down to then they threw a first down the first play.
They
called the timeout there. So they called the timeout before the last timeout they called. Before they even ran their last first down play. Mm. So the game was over, right?
Got it.
He threw the ball on first down and got the first down at the end of the game. Yeah, big time.
I mean, Matthew Stafford, what a great gutty effort. I mean, his hand was bleeding, his rib maybe, who knows, broken or whatever. So let's do this game. The Detroit Lions are moving on, and they're going to get another home game too because of what the Packers did to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, so now we're at the winner of tomorrow, the Eagles-Bucks game, will be in Detroit next week. And I think from when the rumors on the street, it sounds like we might be there too. We might be there too. We're going to leave you here because you're a little too crazy.
You're not
a professional journalist.
I wasn't, yeah.
So we're going to leave you here.
My score was not right. My team that I picked to win was right, 56-10 that I did on the show. That was not right. That was not close, but I still got the right team. Okay.
Well, what do you want? Let's get to the real part of this. First off, I mean, the game was very even.
100%.
You know, I'm interested to see when I watch back the film what the Rams did in the second half to kind of slow down your Lions offense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, the Rams ended up with 90 more yards than the Lions did on the offensive side of the ball, right? But I think really the key to the football game more than anything was the red zone stops we talked about. You know, I looked at that and went, they won first down almost every time they were in there on the 10-yard line, and so they were always in 2nd and 10, 3rd and 10.
Yeah.
The one thing that I looked at, Stafford missed Cooper Kupp that first time down there where they settled, I think, for the first field goal of the night. That was tough, but other than that, I didn't see other plays for them to have, and they couldn't run the ball once they got down there close to the end zone.
They were 0-for-3 in the red zone.
Okay.
Lions were 3-for-3.
Yeah, that's the difference in the football game, yeah. Right? Lions, they pose problems for you. I mean, we know the defense isn't great. We got that. They're not. The thing I like about your defense, though, is you're not afraid to take some chances, which you have to do when you're not very good.
Yep.
You know, just don't die slow deaths, right? Remember how we used to talk about the Chiefs like a few years ago? Like, don't die slow deaths. You have a great offense. So, like, don't be afraid to blitz. And, okay, they made a big play, but your offense is back out there, and at least we get in rhythm. All right, that's the one thing I do like about your defense. Even tonight, it looked like you probably played more man-to-man than you usually like to, but I think you guys probably looked at it and went, if we play zone, Stafford's just going to pick us apart the whole game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we might get a few PIs or defensive holdings or whatever else, but we feel like we can challenge them that way. And they held them to 23 points that way. So that's encouraging. And I like the little splash of aggressiveness that Aaron Glenn calls on the defensive side of the ball. We know you could stop the run a little bit, you know, and you never let the Rams and Kyren Williams, I think, broke his hand or did something to his hand.
Yeah.
But the run game never really took off for the Rams, which is what they really wanted. And, you know, ultimately, I think it was the cushion you guys built for yourself there in the first half, and then the fact that your red zone defense were the things that kind of held down the fort and got you the victory.
Yeah, Lions run game, 25 carries for 79 yards. That's a 3 yards per carry average. That's not what they usually do in these games. So the Rams did a good job there for sure. The Lions were aggressive again. They got that fourth down, Sam Laporta touchdown. This is the point that I made to you earlier today.
Yeah.
No one hates going for it on fourth down more than Chris Sims. We know, we've established that. But you've often said, and last year you complimented the New York Giants, your New York Giants, for knowing who they were.
Right.
They're an offensively challenged team. They're a team that should play through their defense, you know, manage the game.
Yeah.
The Lions are the complete opposite
of
what the Giants were.
That's
they
right.
are a team that will let teams go up and down the field, as we just saw in this game.
Right.
But they have an elite offense. And so if that's the case, I made the argument to you, maybe it should be the opposite. Maybe these, you know, go for it on fourth down. And I think that is their philosophy, too.
I think it is, too. I hear you. Like, let's apply a pressure with you with our best unit at our football team, which is our offense. And we're never going to let you have a take a breath.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
It's going to be four downs against us. Well, you better watch out. It's almost like the advantage Philly has, where it's like if Philly gets 8 yards on the first three downs, it's like, well, they have a fourth because here comes the tush push. All right, you guys are a little different. You don't have the tush push, but it's like they got three downs, and if you get like to fourth and three or less, this crazy fucker that's your head coach, he's like, let's go it. Let's go for it. I just had another cup of coffee. Let's go for it.
We'll throw it to Taylor Decker. We'll do anything.
Right. Yeah. So that's where I do understand that logic and playing through the strength of your football team and putting pressure on a team through that. And I think that's what their philosophy is, Ahmed. I think they know that. I think they know their defense isn't that great. So we're going to outscore people, and we're just going to keep attacking with our offense and hope to win the football game that way. Jared Goff made a lot of big throws. Pass game was great. And like you said, you know, the Rams – they did a good job managing the run game of the Lions.
For
I mean,
sure.
Early on, it was kind of like there was like, oh, man, they're five men front, and they're still getting blown out. But they figured it out as it went along, and they certainly slowed down Detroit's offense. But Detroit just made enough plays in the big moments and situational football really looked like, and that's the reason they won the football game. Very even football game. A lot of fun to watch.
Amiri Jet said, damn okay, Ahmed, working on the desk at NBC, which he is great at. And thank you very much, Amiri Jet. And now can't even get a break to watch Stafford versus the Lions Bowl. Love you guys. Amiri, we were watching, as you just saw,
I
was watching it, but I'm a professional.
Yeah,
here.
And Amiri Jets, don't worry. I mean, we got this stuff now. We got NFL Game Pass, all this. He can watch this shit again, and relive it.
Play by play.
You can have a triple header tomorrow. You can go, let me watch the Lions-Rams again, and then go to the regular two games.
Exactly what I'm going to do.
So there you go. You can act like it's new, and I'll call in every now and then and just be like, hey, are the fucking Rams winning yet? Just to annoy you like I did today.
So this is what I was saying coming into the building today. It's like people are like, how are you feeling with the Lions? And Lions fans should always be nervous. But I was like, you know what? I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I said, I feel like the Lions can – I would pick the Lions against any team except the 49ers in the NFC right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Really.
I hear that.
Like, right?
I hear that.
You almost beat the Cowboys in Dallas.
No doubt about it. I think you might have beat the third best team in the NFC tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly – I'm not so sure. This is one of the hotter teams in all of football coming to the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, the Bucs defense and the Eagles defense versus your fucking offense, they'll never stop you guys. Never. So, yeah, I'm with you there. And with as creative as your offensive coordinator is and as good as your O-line is and the fact that Goff is aggressive and the passing game is aggressive – you'll be a pain in the ass for the 49ers defense. They don't want to blitz. They want to stop the run, but they can't go all in on stopping the run against this crew and the play action pass. So that'll be scary. They're a better team. We know that. But here, I got an update for you too, okay? I got a group text here. It is from Devin McCourty and Mike Florio.
Yeah.
And Florio texted, congrats, Ahmed. Suck it, Sims. And then McCourty's got like three laughing emojis underneath
that's
that. Okay, so they were rooting for
that's
you.
Great.
There you are. You're in there still. You see it now.
I'm gonna do a live photo of us right now on the pod.
What's up? Yeah.
All right, sending that to them right now. They are getting that as
there
we speak right now. We're going to talk about the Lions the whole pod on Wednesday. You're right. I'm going to go back and watch the whole thing tomorrow with my son. Puka Nacua needs credit
here. Oh, my gosh. Is he
because
insane?
He made so many great catches down the field. He took a beating in this one, too. And that's part of your problem with him, too. You think he takes too much of a beating.
Yes.
He should get down or out of bounds.
Right.
181 receiving yards, most in a playoff game by a rookie in NFL history.
Yeah, he's just rewriting the record book for rookies. I mean, incredible. And, you know, the size, the strength, the speed that he has for somebody as big as he is crazy. He is the new number one target in L.A., right? You heard me say that a few weeks ago. When I watched the Rams, I said it right here on the pod. I said, Puka's the number one target. They call the offense through Puka Nacua now. And then Cooper Kupp's the second option, which it should be. This guy's a special football player. You know, and he fits what they want to do. They run the ball. He's a blocking receiver. He ain't afraid to go over the middle, play action passes, and, of course, has enough speed on the outside to make some big plays as well, right? And, yeah, they force-fed him the ball tonight. And it looked like, I think even at the end when it was the third and 14s and all of that for the Rams, it was he was still firing the ball to Puka Nacua into tight coverage, and he was taking big hits or whatever else. But, hey, this Rams team, you know, I know you'll put them to death on Wednesday.
Oh, that's right.
Right,
I'm,
but
I feel bad about that.
They should be proud about the way their year ended, how they played, and what the future could look like. I mean, they got money to spend, right? They got a lot of young players.
Stafford's awesome, too.
Stafford's still.
He's 35. I did kind of wonder coming into this year. I was like, man, he's been beat up a lot.
He got beat up tonight, but as a totality this year, it was a win for Stafford.
I think
he got a little beat up early in the year, but other than that, it was pretty good. And they got an O-line there for the first time in his time there as well.
They protected very well tonight.
So they can do that. The running back's a superstar. Puka and Cooper Kupp will still be there. Hunter Higbee will still be there, even though he might not be 100% to start the next year, according to however his injury plays out here. And then, you know, they're going to go out, and this year, this will be the first time in 3 years where they're going to be a player. They're going to be a player in free agency. It's the first year that they've had some money to play with here, so that'll be interesting to watch. All right, here's the schedule. Lay it out for us, Ahmed.
So it is confirmed now. We will be in Detroit.
Okay.
We've got either the Bucks and Eagles. So
that's
the early
Sunday
game on
playoff
Sunday.
Game. Okay.
The late game on Sunday is going to be there. Look, a lot of options there, it looked like. That's the hard one. Saturday night, we know it's going to be Packers and 49ers.
Right.
That one we know for sure.
Right.
And so then I guess that early one Saturday is still up for.
Well, the Saturday early one has got to be – oh, yeah. It has to be the Texans, whoever they're at.
Texans early.
Right. They can't play the – they can't make
Saturday,
the Bills play Monday and Saturday, right? So
yes.
that whoever plays wins the Bills-Steelers game is going to Sunday.
So, Matt, we'll be in Detroit then? Oh, my gosh.
We're definitely going to Detroit. We're going to Detroit.
All right, do I get to go? Are we taking me too?
I hope not.
They haven't no confirmation yet. TBD on that.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Right. Oh my gosh!
We started the year in Kansas City with Detroit.
That's right.
We're gonna end the year in Detroit.
Oh,
that'll be
gosh.
Cool.
Okay, we'll see. I don't know if I can handle that. Time for one more game. Give me the headlines presented by Hyundai. The final game, and that game was the first game. The Houston Texans defended their home turf against the Cleveland Browns. Not just defended it, they dominated. 45-14 was the final score. Your headline for this game is
the Stroud pleaser.
Oh my god, that's a good one.
The Stroudinator. I mean, whatever you want to say. Anything with the word Stroud in it sounds good. But the Stroud pleaser is what we're going with. All right. That's us hot off the printing press because he is pleasing all Houston Texans fans because they have a unbelievable superstar quarterback.
Yes.
Who, like, as you've heard me say all year, I've never seen anything like it. The story continues. And then to do that against the number one defense in football this year and just absolutely shred them and tear them apart with C.J. Stroud big throws was incredible. I don't want to overstate this, right? I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but I really feel this, okay? He's like arguably one of the five best quarterbacks in football already. That's how I feel about it. I mean, he is incredible. The way he sees the field, the playmaking ability, even though it's maybe not as like, like Allen or Mahomes, it's more within the pocket between the hashes, but he's still the movement. It's more like Joe Burrow, as I would say, slippery son of a bitch, right?
Yeah.
Where you're just like, damn, he's just sliding and moving and finding a little place to throw the football. And then his release, the quickest in football, and then he can just throw any ball he wants – any way he wants, And he puts it on the money. And that's where I just look at it. And I know I'm making a bold statement there, but it's around top five-ish already for football. We are watching a young superstar about to take over the league at quarterback.
So how did this happen? Because what, Peyton Manning threw a billion interceptions his first year, and he was Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
right. This should not happen.
Yeah.
So clearly he's very talented.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
What else is going on here?
I think that the offense brought him along the right way. Right. Early in the year, it wasn't like the training wheels are on. I don't want to say that, but they protected him. They probably ran the ball a little more than they should. You know, kept tight ends in the block. Let's play action pass. Slowly they started to put more and more on his plate. And then I think really what happens is it was the ultimate marriage of quarterback and system, right? You know, where it was like, wait, this system likes to play action pass and, you know, either throw little lasers over the middle or be aggressive and throw the ball down the field. And he's like, I can do both of those. I can get it out as quick as anybody in the game on those little Shanahan quick throws we see over the middle to Deebo Samuel. He can do that. Or he can go, hey, wait, Shanahan, you don't have a quarterback like this, but Bobby Slowick, he's got me, so he can draw up some of these plays you'd like to call, and I can throw in the 20-yard out route like it's nothing. Like I can just walk it there all the time. 25-yard in cut, on the money. Go route up the sideline on a wheel route. I'm running in the pocket, and I jump, and I throw it on the money. I mean, you know. I can roll out right off the play-action pass, and the tight end is supposed to run the corner route all the time on that route. Now he runs across the field. I'm good enough, coach. You can call that play. I could throw it 50 yards across the field. No big deal for me. Hmm. That's where it kind of all worked, and it's just continued to grow and grow and grow. And I think D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick have figured out how to play team complementary football and what makes sense for them, as we talk about with a lot of teams, and they know who they are and they own it.
Anastasia 026 says CJ Stroud, damn, beyond damn okay.
Yeah,
this guy
right.
is unbelievable. Cool, calm, collected against the best defense in the NFL. In his first ever playoff game, it was awesome watching him in person. Oh, was there in person.
Ooh, way to go.
To watch it. Stroud completed 7 of 8 passes under pressure for 118 yards, was not sacked per Next Gen Stats. And that was the question, right? Myles Garrett has not looked as explosive lately. But they did still get some pressure on him, and when they did, he did well.
Had the shoulder pec thing about the third to last week of the year, Myles Garrett, right? And they did not look quite as dominant down the stretch, right? I mean, with C.J. Stroud's performance, it's almost like you got to go, like, forget damn okay. It's just like, we got to rename it and just be like, holy shit, or holy crapola. Like, what the fuck is this guy, right? I mean, it's incredible.
Do you really think you'll put him in the top five?
He's dancing around there. He is dancing around there for me. I mean, off the top of my head, yes, he's up there in that combo. You know, now again, he might end up being 7, but I'm just, you know, he's in the deserves to be in that combo. I will say that. You know, I I think the top three are still the top three.
You're gonna have
some juggling to do
because
to get past that.
CJ's and Jordan Love's like lines.
There's some guys
basically
that
the
are,
same
exactly
in the first playoff game. So here's what they are both 16-21. Stroud had 2 more yards. The quarterback rating was identical, and both teams scored like mid-40s.
And yeah, no doubt. And they don't dink and dunk. They attack down the field. And as we started off the pod, it's the same thing, and now we're going to get back to it. It both played defenses that are way over-aggressive, and they were like, wait, all I got to do is – I don't have to read a coverage all game. It's just going to be man-to-man. See, that's the other thing, too, where some of these defensive coordinators, they're meatheads. I don't know what I'm going to say. They're stupid. I don't mean to say stupid, but their approach and what they're thinking is going to confuse the quarterback is wrong at times. We're going to pressure them. We're going to play man-to-man. We're going to make this rookie make plays. When I was a rookie and people did that, I was like, thank God. I know it's a blitz. I know it's man-to-man. I don't have to read anything, right? I was more like when I was young, I was like, damn, I can't tell what zone is this? What's the safety doing? I can't tell if this guy's blitzing over here. Is he bluffing me? Whatever. But like the Browns and the Cowboys are just like, we're blitzing. It's man to man. That's it. End of discussion. And it's like, okay, good. Okay, oh, I got a stud over here. I'm going to carve you up with him. I don't care. Man to man. Do you think I care about, I got to throw the ball against man to man? Like great quarterbacks don't care about that. They think they can hit anything anywhere. So they're not like, oh, gosh, they're going to make me throw into a tight window today. Mm. Do you think Tom Brady ever fucking said that in his life? He was like, wait, is there a window or not? Oh, there's a window? I can get it in there. Great. So that's where they mess up in that department. And, you know, we've hit on this before. The team that loses the first matchup goes back to the drawing board and goes, we can't play that way again. We got to change it up, right? And the team that won the first matchup, they're watching the film going, man, everything we did was perfect. It worked great. I don't want to mess up the – I don't want to change the game plan too much. I don't want to do that. And you heard me in the pregame,
mm-hmm.
and I wish I would have emphasized this more. I said, Cleveland, come out and be conservative. Get a feel for the game. Because Stroud and them attack all year long throwing the ball. Slowick comes from 49ers, Shanahanville, which is like if they know what you're doing, they have no fear and they'll call any play in the playbook, right? And that's what we saw. So they made some adjustments, kept the tight end in the block, and then they knew Cleveland's going to play man. They're going to do it, so we're going to use it against them. And like the Packers had a lot of plays that were basically like, we know you're going to overplay this to such a point, because we do this a lot, that we're going to have something off of it. And you're not going to be there. And that was really kind of the theme of the night throughout and throughout.
Here's the Nico Collins touchdown, the little screen. Good run after the catch.
Right. And watch how it goes again here. So it's like, oh, we've seen them run this little inside zone, outside zone play, excuse me, all the time. And as you watch this re-stack and go again, watch how the front seven, the linebackers, let it play now. They all fast flow with the motion of the play. Look at the backside linebacker. He's crossed the center already. So this is the shit they saw. And they went, wait, we got to use some of our bread and butter plays against them. They overplayed it so much in the first matchup that we got some stuff here. If we can just call and have a new wrinkle to it, that they won't be able to defend it. And that was kind of the theme of the night to me.
That was such a great point by you and Devin, too, is that can get into your brain. If you've won the game, you're just like, we'll do the same thing that we did before, where the other team's completely thinking the opposite.
And then they didn't adjust in the second half, and they kept doing it.
What did they do? What happened on the Brevin Jordan 76-yard touchdown? How did they open that one up?
Another great play. Same type of thing. And we'll watch it re-rack here. Next Gen Stats, I love these dots running. Here's the 75-yard touchdown off the sideline. Line, right?
It's a fast dive.
Yeah, and hey, Brevin Jordan, he's a good little player. Right. But here we go. Pause it real quick, okay? So running set, right? It's Bobby Slowick, the Texans. They're usually pretty patient with the run, right? It's from the 49ers and Shanahan. They like to run the ball, okay? Here you see it's nine guys within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage for the Cleveland Browns. They're going to fake the run to the left and boot to the right. And what they do with nine is they keep him into block at first. But they know, again, Cleveland is so aggressive that when a guy blocks in a pass play, the guy who's covering him goes, they tell him what we would call green dog, fast fill, whatever you want to say, to where, hey, he's blocking, fuck sitting there waiting for him to go out and around now, go get the quarterback, run in there. So you're going to see watch number six on number nine. Mm-hmm. He gets let it play, Pete, he blocks, he's getting blocked by number nine. He stays with him. He's blocking me. Here comes the boot. I'm going to get rid of this guy and go tackle the quarterback. He's trying to block me now. I'm going to become a pass rusher, right? And now six leaves number nine, and this play was all just for this. It's all it was. It's all window dressing because they knew they were going to get this. Hey, block him for a three count, then let him go. He'll rush upfield. You just throw it over his head for 5 yards, and then there's going to be nobody there. And again, that was another example of using their over-aggressiveness against them. And almost every big pass play you heard me yesterday in the game, I was going, they're just – the reverses they did were off their good runs. They're going to fast flow to the run. Let's run a reverse. It was just – it was all that all day long.
So you've talked about this Browns defense as being, what, 2015 Broncos. You said they could win the Super Bowl just through this defense if Joe Flacco didn't mess it up. He messed it up in this game.
He messed it up. The defense messed it up too, though.
So they did. Yeah. So what was it? Was it that other teams just did not think of doing this, or did they play significantly more poorly in this game than they showed the rest of the year?
No, I don't think some of the other teams, you know, have this quarterback, have the ability to throw the ball down the field to this capacity, and then this Bobby Slowick's real. So he's willing to think outside the box and go, let me think of a few things. And that's what we always talk about too. And I don't know why it's so pronounced in the NFL, but once coaches get put in a, hey, you're asking go home if you lose this week, These are guys that are usually conservative by nature. Hey, I like what I like. I do what I do. This is what I want. I want to just stay here. We've only coached this. I don't want to try that new. Our guys haven't repped it that much. I don't know if they won't mess it up, whatever, right? That's how coaches are. All of a sudden, they get in these scenarios, and they're like, we haven't ever practiced this play, but we can't win this game this week unless we fucking run a few new plays and gash them, or we're going home, right? And that's what happens, and I think that's generally what happened all together. And they started to sit there. They're watching all week, and they're going, we got to do some curveballs off our normal fastball stuff because they're all over that. And I think that's where they really took advantage of them. But that's where – I know I was on Joe Flacco running it all year. I've been on all of it, though. It doesn't need to, even the defense. I know I haven't ran into it like Flacco where I'm saying ran it in. But I even with them, as much as I love it, I was still having points of the year that I said on PFT and here. I said, not every play has to be go for the 5-yard loss. Not every play has to go for what squash them so they get nothing, right? You know, every now and then you got to go, wait, this formation, this might give us a problem here. Let's be a little more conservative. If they get the 5-yard gain, that's fine, but we're not going to give up the 85-yard touchdown pass. And to me, there was no garter rail for that with them, let alone the same thing on the offensive side of the ball with Joe Flacco. And, yeah, you laughed and made fun of me, and all everybody has rein it in. Yeah. But what I was worried about. To me, the play of the game, the moment of the game was 24-14, and the Browns were in field goal range, and Flacco was going to get sacked, and he just threw the fucking ball up, and it became the 82-yard interception return, and that ended the game. Cleveland was still in the fight at that point. Kicked the field goal. It's 24-17. Maybe your defense can make a play. But instead, they tried to win it on one play, and like you always hear me say, you can't win it on this play, but you can lose it, and they fucking lost it.
They tried to lose it on this play, and then the next play after that.
Oh, the next play after that. Exactly right.
We have the dots for the 82-yard interception return. Do we, yeah. Pete? Do we have that just so we can hammer home the point? So Pete's getting that. Derek Stingley was very good.
Derek Stingley was good. Steven Nelson was good.
Steven Nelson will show the interception.
The pass rushers made a difference.
Will Anderson, 7 pressures, was awesome in this one.
Right. Amari Cooper was nowhere near 100%.
Nowhere.
That hurt them.
Nowhere.
Right.
So here's the dots for it, Chris.
Yeah, and you're going to see here, they Flacco's going to look to his left, and Elijah Moore on the left side here is running a slant and go. So he wants a double move. And this is where Flacco could be a little crazy. So as you let it go, he's got pressure. He knows he has the double move open for a touchdown. It's open. He's got it. But he's got somebody hanging on his legs, but he's still like Joe Flacco, like, I'm going to throw it and get it there. And he can't get it there. And it gets picked, and it's see you later. And, yeah, that is to me where they were just a little too reckless, not conservative enough that way, not playing the right way to what their football team is, right? And I think that ultimately is what came back to kind of bite them in the butt in this
Chris
one.
Machine 4 says, very disappointed Browns fan here. Between us and the Cowboys, who both had a top 5 EPA expected points added defense, are we officially out on the defense wins championships era? From my point of view, I would say, no, you just ran into C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love playing at a very high level.
Yeah, I don't think we're out of the defense wins championships era. It's not maybe as prevalent as it was once, you know, 20 years ago. I think that was really something you could certainly say. Right? We see it less now. But, you know, the Patriots had a good blend of good defense a lot of those years, right? You know, we just talked about the 2015 Broncos, certainly, right? The 49ers are a team that have had a top 5 defense, and they're going, you know, been deep in the playoffs. And, hey, the Ravens are the best team in football, too. To me, it's defense can win championships, but you can't just play the same defense all game. That's the problem. That's what I would say. That, to me, would be the difference between the defenses that won the Super Bowl the last few years had a lot of different variety, had like, oh, wait, this team could attack our man-to-man. We got to be able to do something else. The Bucks, they adjusted. Oh, well, we're playing Kansas City. I like the blitz and play man-to-man, Todd Bowles, but I'm not against Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. We're going to play cover two that night. Oh, we won the Super Bowl. So, you know, defense is still very important. We know that. But you got to be multiple on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
And that's where I look at, like, Buffalo, Baltimore, the 49ers. You know, there's just more things they can go to in their playbook as compared to maybe the Cowboys and Browns that are always like, let's blitz, let's play man-to-man. And that just becomes too predictable at some point.
Pete would like to finish this by thanking owe Greg 001 for inspiring him and the Texans to take $20 off of Chris Sims.
Do I owe Greg 21 to 22?
I don't think he officially took the bet.
I just owe
Pete.
Okay.
Yeah, because he was like, I'm just messing with you. But Pete was like, I'll take the bet if you want to take
it. Well, at old Greg 001, you were right. I mean, he said a lot of things. CJ Stroud throwing the ball, Browns defense on the road.
Right? Flacco on the road.
Right.
Yeah,
so good. Good for you. Way to teach Unbuttoned how to do a football podcast.
We'll send you a t-shirt whenever
And I don't like you because now I got to give $20 to fucking Pete. Okay. Yeah. I like you for your help to the podcast, but I don't like Pete that much, and now I got
to
give him $20.
You would have rather given it to old Greg 001.
I would have. That's where I keep going back to it. I'm like, Greg, I'll ship you it. I'll give you $40. Just to not give Pete 20. I really would, but too late now, and now I'm stuck, and I'll give Pete his 20 here in a few minutes.
He's already spent it. That was Give Me the Headlines presented by Hyundai. We close the book on Hyundai, and the final thoughts on the final two games, Eagles at Bucks, Steelers at Bills. You gave your picks on the picks pod. Now, the one game that is a little bit different, you didn't know A.J. Brown was going to be out for the Eagles. He's out.
I'm sure he'd play, right.
So, does that change your pick?
I'm going to still stay with the Eagles. Okay. I'm scared. I don't remember having a wild card weekend where I'm like, you go back in my history and look at my playoff picks, I'm usually pretty spot on. This was one of the first wild card weekends where I was like both games today, I was like, I'm kind of toss up, like with both of them. I don't know which one to pick, right? You know, I was a little that way last night. I thought the Dolphins would keep it closer with Kansas City, right? And the Bucks-Eagles game is what I'm saying is I have that same feeling where I go, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Eagles' pedigree and they're just the more talented football team. But I'm scared, and I clearly like the Bills. I do like the Bills, that's for sure. That's one I feel confident about, but – I mean, we know Steelers, playoff football, strip sack fumble, Allen doing something stupid.
Elements, and that
game could change in a hurry. But, yeah, I like the Bills to win, you know, kind of control the game in an ugly fashion. And I like the Eagles. I think I had like a 27-24. You know, I think you will see some big plays out of both offenses in this football game.
And I think we want Eagles-Lions in Detroit. That's got a little more pizzazz to it, for sure.
I would agree with that. I think you're right, too. It's a better matchup for TV viewing purposes. Yeah. The Eagles, the ex-Super Bowl team from the NFC coming into town, trying to upset your chance to go to the Super Bowl and the 49ers and all that. I'm with you there.
Yeah, although Pete says Baker versus Goff, two casts off. Oh. So you could have the castaway thing.
And that rhyme. That was very good of you.
I know. Right,
Baker versus Goff, two cast off.
Two cast off.
Yeah, that was very
that's
well
right.
done.
I'll put that into the Requiem.
Yep.
All right, we did it. I think I'm sweating.
Yeah, you are. I was going to call you out when you raised your arms when the win happened, but yep, there's your sweaty pits. I mean, you sweat
that's
through.
A true fan.
You sweat through a thick T-shirt and a thick hoodie.
I don't
That's
always do that
sweat.
Anymore. I don't, but I did tonight.
Yeah. He was nervous. Jared Goff driving late was nervous.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. You know where to find us. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, rate, review. Wednesday, we'll be back to break things down for the matchups next weekend and talk a little bit more about what the fuck happened this weekend. Send your tweets. We love the interaction. Ahmed, congratulations. Congratulations to the Lions. And damn, I mean, you must feel like football royalty. Michigan, Detroit,
it's
all
good
going good.
It's almost two. What's going to happen here? Yeah, it's been a great year so far.
Way to go. Way to go. Good job in the state of Michigan. You guys are kicking butt in the football world. All right, we'll see you Wednesday. Peace out. Clap it up.
Lions.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.